The following program is brought to you in living color.
See this earth? It has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land, and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the vixen of the vineyard, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about our round, happy, cheerful, loving, favorite fruit of the vine, the grape. And speaking of favorite fruits, we are off and rolling. Everybody is in a bustle around the studio today. There's all kind of excitement going on around here. It's a shame none of it has anything to do with me, like everything is supposed to, but that's quite all right.
I haven't decided if I like Kevin Kline's French accent in that cut we played in the open.
You have played that cut for 4 years.
I know. I'm still trying to warm up to the accent.
It would be a little bit late if you decided you absolutely hate it. But by the way, thank you, Vixen of the Vineyard.
I'm trying to come up with new ones every so often.
Well, I certainly do appreciate the effort. It's about time you lifted a finger for something about the crush.
We're up to the W's now.
We're up to the W's.
Yeah.
We've gone all the way to W.
The woman of wine. I have another one, but I can't use it. Go ahead.
I was about to say there are seven words. are there still seven?
Still seven we can't use. That's right.
Just checking, because, you know, having cable now, I don't know if that applies to radio as well. After hearing what I hear last night on TNT, I figure I can pretty much do whatever I want to.
What did you hear on TNT?
Well, at least five of the seven.
Really? Seriously?
Yes. So it was
TNT.
Something new and different.
Okay.
All right. Today, we had so much fun and so much response from the show that we did when we were doing our wine terminology that we are actually going to continue along that vein today. We are actually going to look a little bit more at terminology, go a little bit deeper into it. But also, we have a great guest today. We have Miss Catherine Cole. She is the wine columnist for the
Paragonian.
Oh, well, she writes about wine in Oregon. She is also the author of Voodoo Vintner, and of course, she is basically going to be an Oregon expert, because I do feel like, as much as I love Oregon, and I talk about West Coast, and we talk about the wines that are that part of the country, I never probably give Oregon its due, and it's probably my favorite place to go and visit and enjoy the culture and enjoy the people. They're just laid back. So today, Catherine will educate the rest of us about it. But before we get to that point, I'm going to break one of my cardinal rules. I have our wine recommendations for today. And I hate doing this. I really do. Using the same winery for a red and a white. But these two just stand out so much that I figured I would hate to forget them down the road. The two wines I am doing today are from The Federalist, and that is the Federalist, like the Federalist Papers. One is the Chardonnay, one is Dueling Pistols. Let's start with the Chardonnay. 2010 Chardonnay. This thing is great because it fits this time of year. You know, we went early spring. We like the non-oaked Chardonnays. We like the lighter whites. I did go really just off on a tangent on some really weird whites, but I finally got drawn back to my favorite Chardonnay. And now as we're starting the close of the season, this is a good balance because, as I tell you over and over again, wine is like clothing. It is seasonal. And this is such a good transition. You get lemon curd, pear, cinnamon, clove. You start getting the great spicy nuances in the Chardonnay. Got great oak on it, but it's not overwhelming. They actually ferment it in 30% new oak, which means the rest of it is done in old oak. And of course, we all know, because we listen to The Crush on a regular basis, that if you age wine in new oak, you get more oaky flavors. But you get a good balance between the two. So the 2010, the Federalist Chardonnay, this is a brand new release, something that most people haven't seen. And actually, I have to admit it, I'm going back to my friend malolactic fermentation. And of course, since it's a wine terminology show, we will get to that in a bit. Now, its brother, Now, I use it's. Here, I'm going to get off on a small tangent here because I got in an argument with someone the other day. And I know we have touched on this occasionally on the show about a wine being masculine or feminine. And the person I was having this discourse with was absolutely all undone because he had heard a sommelier say that a Pinot Noir was feminine. Well, of course, a Pinot Noir, a Zinfandel, you can have masculine and feminine. And I asked him exactly why it bothered him. He said, because the same guy turned around and called a Cabernet feminine. And I have to admit, I started thinking about it, and I had to agree with him. Every other red varietal I can think of is going to be feminine or masculine. But when it comes to Cabernet, they're either elegant or powerful. I just always assume a Cabernet is going to be masculine. And so then, of course, we had to have the discourse on the other side of the coin about white wines. White wines, are they feminine or masculine? And you never really call a white wine masculine. Once again, you can call it elegant. You can call it bright. You can call it bubbly. You can call all kind of things to it. But you don't really ever call anything masculine that's white except for Chardonnay.
Man, you wine people, you'll argue about it, anything, won't you?
I'll argue with a rock if I feel like it. That has nothing to do with wine people. It's just type A personalities.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so give that some thought as our listeners. Masculine or feminine, are they appropriate for all types of wine? Are they appropriate for all types of varietals? Let me know, 877-4-CRUSH-1. But of course, you're listening from my wine recommendations. Now, going away from the Federalist Chardonnay, which I do find to be a little masculine, to the Federalist Dueling Pistols. Now, I like the idea of this to begin with. The idea of a duel right now really appeals to me. Maybe it's more so the idea of just being contrary than anything else. But this is a Zinfandel and Syrah blend, and what's neat is it's 50-50. A lot of times you'll find these red wine blends that, oh, we're going to do 17% of this and 13% of that and 7% of this and 50% of this. I have to admit, I know that there are lab rats that are in the labs that are looking at this and will say explicitly that there is that exact percentage of Cabernet Franc in that wine. And I really, there are times when I look at all those little details and just want to say one of the seven words. There's just not possible that they can be that exact. But 50-50, you figure this is a direct split. So for those of you who love Zinfandels and those of you who love Syrahs, this will balance for both of you. What I like about this spent a lot of time on the skins, so it's very extracted. It's very, very dark, and my best advice to you is do not wear white and drink this wine. But you get the blackberry, you get the black cherry, you get the black pepper. All the black fruits and all the black things that we use to describe wine are in this bottle. And so it's nice, it's spicy. That's why it's a good pair to its sister Chardonnay. Once again, you're getting spice components in both of these wines, and I've hit the point where I'm almost ready to be a little denuded of fruit for a while. I like the idea of spice and something different. So those are your two wines, the Federalist Chardonnay and the Federalist Dueling Pistols. Even better, you can find these at your local Mega Mart or your favorite wine shop for under $20 a pop, which is exceptional this time of year. So there are your wine recommendations. Now, before we truly get into wine terminology, yes, I promised you Mallow and some other things, I have a great news story, and I just can't let it go. I couldn't figure out where to work it in, but I have got to get to it. All right, are we ready? French cows are now fed wine to increase flavor. A number of farmers in the Languedoc have taken to feeding their cattle local red wine to improve the flavor of their beef. Now, I have to admit, when I first read this story, I thought, what, they did just have unhappy cows? You know, California has made such a big effort to talk about all the happy cows in California. Were their French compatriots just starting to feel bitter and repressed, and they couldn't be happy cows too, so we had to liquor them up? And so you look at that, and you figure, it actually reads, French cows fed wine to increase taste. Well, I'm sorry, did they feel like the cows didn't have enough taste? Were they dressing poorly? Were they behaving out of sorts?
We're talking about the taste of the beef, the taste of the beef, right?
No, yes.
Not the milk.
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, that does actually. The article does go on to talk about it's more lean, it's more marbled, and it's more tasty. And I do have news for you that you either raise cows, you raise them for beef, or you raise them for dairy.
Right.
Very, very rarely do the twain meet.
I would think so, especially on
these commercial farms. I mean, if you're if you have one cow and it's Betty Sue and it's out back, then probably at some point you're going to use her milk, and then eventually you're going to kill her and put her on a plate. But outside of that, no, it's either milk or dairy cows or beef cattle. There's not really much common ground.
Yeah.
But
so beef with just a hint of cork, perhaps. I don't know.
Ha 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 ha. I worry about you from time to time, but. It does raise the question. I had wondered what they had done with all the wine surplus in Languedoc. And, of course, they have started decertifying vineyards and telling people they have to rip up their vineyards. So can you see trying to explain that to the government? No, really, I realize that you told me not to make any more wine, but I'm feeding it to my cattle. And you can actually go out in the field. I don't know. Are the cows staggering around? Are they starting to smoke? Are they developing profanity in their language? Are they all just remarkably chatty? I'm sorry, this story just fascinated me.
You know
me.
How this got started, though.
No.
Same way these things always get started. A couple of guys who've had too many decided, hey, let's see what happens when we feed the cow a little bit of wine. So they give the cow some wine, and then when they finally get around to butchering the cow, they realized it tastes better. So suddenly there are scientists on the farm doing a study just like this.
My guess was, honestly, that this was an accident. I thought about it just the opposite way. I know that there have been some problems with some storms. There have been some problem with people having to get rid of the wine they had or having some that was spoiled, and it just wound up either being turned over or something happened, and the cows just got their little hooves on it.
Yeah, maybe so.
Then again, maybe they're rebel
All
cows.
All good things are accidents, though.
I wouldn't.
You kind of. I mean, weren't you just cleaning the studio one day when we walked in, and there
yeah,
you were.
Exactly. You want to explain your insistence in all this?
That's right.
Okay. I realize the rest of you may not be as near entertained as I was about the idea of cows drinking wine so that they will taste better. I mean, are we going to get to a point where the cows are actually going to pick what varietal they want? And as of right now, yes, it is specifically red wine. I wonder what happens if you give them champagne. Does that mean they are lighter, that they have a less dense construction? Anyway, very sorry about that. Off on tangents. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, I promise I will get back on point and we will answer some of your phone calls, some of your emails, and delve deeper into wine terminology.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write down this number and act fast. We know that the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, full spa, casino, three kids clubs, and more. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you this first cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee, and your cruise is free. It's over a $500 value, and it's yours free.
Call 800-654-0468, 800-654-0468, 800-654-0468, or visit tvcruiseforfree.com. TVCruiseForFree.com.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out. WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. Hey, by now, our regular Wine Crush listeners, we all know about WTSO.com, wine still sold out. But I need you to mark this Wednesday, August 8th, as Cheapskate Wednesday returns to WTSO.com. This special sale runs from 6 a.m. to midnight, and that's, of course, Eastern Standard Time. Sorry, guys. And offers are posted every 15 minutes or until sold out. With every item is going to be priced from $7.99 to $18.99. So these are great values. Ground shipping is going to be free on orders of four or more bottles. All right, so this sale moves really, really quickly since they're going to be sold out. And as soon as they're sold out, they're gone. So you can get notifications sent to you by Twitter. You don't want to miss this. This is a great opportunity to stock your cellars. And even some wines we have recommended on the show, definitely go to WTSO and check it out. Now, once you get done doing that, I'm sure you will be shelving yourself, looking through some different labels, and coming up with all kind of questions. And actually, this email just ties in so nicely to my cow story that I have to go here because the answer will make perfect sense to you. All right, I have an email, and this email is from LaJuan. And LaJuan says, "Define the idea of body. How do I tell if something is light or heavy bodied?" So the term we're playing with today is body. And this was and still is the best descriptor I've ever heard to describe this. Body is the weight of the wine. It's just the easiest way to put this. So when you want to think about body of wine, let's use milk. Let's go back to our cow. I know this isn't a French cow. This is a happy California cow who has drunk no wine. Think about skim milk. Think about how light skim milk is, how you hate to say watered down, but ultimately that's what it is. If you put the skim milk in a glass, you can kind of see through it. It's kind of hazy. That would be extraordinarily light bodied. Now let's move up to 2% milk. 2% milk still has some of the fat in it. You still can't see through it. It still has some density, but it's not near as heavy as whole milk. So 2% milk is medium bodied. Now, big full bodied wine, think of regular milk. Regular milk can quantify itself as very full-bodied, so there you go. There's the best way to think about body using milk, skim milk, 2% milk, and whole milk. And, of course, there are some dessert wines out there that have the body of heavy cream, But since very few people these days really actually see what a glass of heavy cream looks like, I don't know if you can relate to that or not. But ultimately, body concerns, mouth weight, mouth feel, and just how dense a wine is the easiest way to describe it. I know a lot of my sommeliers and a lot of my master sommeliers out there are saying, Laura, you're misdirecting people. But no, when you're talking about straight body, it's the best way to associate itself. And it doesn't matter whether you are just starting out drinking wine or if you've been drinking wine for a long time. If you'll think about that answer, yes, it does fit in. So, Lawan, I hope that helps out and hope I give you a better definition of what to expect for from body. Wine terminology can always be fun because, especially here in the States, by the time we get through translations, by the time we get through everything, we have so many different descriptors, whether we're looking from our French counterparts, our German counterparts, even Australia, England, all the different places where you have wine and wine has been quantified, all of a sudden it can get confusing. Here's another one where I see a lot of confusion and I don't think people really understand. This email is from Mark, and Mark writes us from Corpus Christi. Mark says, please explain the difference between aroma and bouquet. Aren't they both just smells? Well, yes, but when it comes to wine and the actual idea of wine, they are two extraordinarily different concepts. Let's take aroma. Think about it, whether I said the aroma of wine, the aroma of gym socks, the aroma of bread baking, what does that evoke with you? What does that make you think? Obviously, if something has an aroma, it makes you smell, it makes you think of something. Aroma, when it comes to wine, is exactly that. It is the parts of wine that you put together. If I hold up a glass of Chardonnay to my nose, I can get aromas of pineapple. I can get aromas of pear. Aromas of apple. Take the word smell. I get the smell of apples. I get the smell of pear. I get the smell of pineapple. So when you put that together, those are the different things that go into making the wine what it is. Now, on the flip side of that, bouquet is generally what happens when everybody gets together and harmonizes. Bouquet is usually reserved for wines that have been aged. Bouquet is usually the sum of all its parts. It's the easiest way to put it. When you look at it, you have the aging process. Things come together in harmony, well, at least hopefully. A wine has a signature scent. Hopefully, winemakers are going to the trouble to make sure that all the different smells that go into the wine add up together to make one amazing beverage that nobody else can make. A bouquet should be unique to a wine and to a winery because of the time spent, the winemaker's touch, how he puts it together. Whereas you can have the aroma of apples or the aroma of pineapple in a number of Chardonnays without having it all add up to the whole. I hope that helps. I hope that gives you an idea of the difference between the two. But I do have to agree with you. It's one I see misused often. Hey, we're going to take another break here on The Crush. When we return, we will have Miss Catherine Cole joining us and enlightening us a bit about Oregon. Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course, Chardonnay. Wines Till Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. WTSO.com, fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
So you're sitting in your car or truck in traffic and it seems to be running fine right now, but how do you know it will tomorrow, this afternoon? Can you afford to miss that meeting or family event? Don't risk it. Z-Max it. Z-Max is the engine performance product that makes a good engine oil great and gives you the assurance your vehicle will keep running smooth and strong day after day, year after year. Why wouldn't you ride with Z-Max? Get Z-Max at your local retail parts store now or log on to Z-Max.com to find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant, what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
We're back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now we are online with Miss Catherine Cole, the wine columnist for The Oregonian, and of course the author of Voodoo Vintners, Oregon's Astonishing Biodynamic Wine Growers. Catherine, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be joining you.
It is a pleasure. And we have just the perfect show today because I seem to have been obsessed lately about doing wine terminology. And I think a lot of times what we get are people asking the question, well, isn't sustainable and biodynamic and organic, aren't all these things the same? So if you don't mind, today I'm going to take advantage of your expertise and let's kind of delve in that idea. And of course, let's speak about Oregon. Nobody talks about Oregon enough as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that. I'm always happy to talk about Oregon.
Well, it's just so easy. I have the pleasure of knowing Alex Sokolblosser fairly well. And something he always says just really sticks out with me, that Oregon has the mentality of Oregon first, winery second. And the first time I heard that, I thought, yeah, you're just trying to do a nice marketing ploy. Everyone's out for themselves. But the more time I spend in Oregon, whether it's with the people at Archery Summit, the people at Sokol, the people at Argyle, it really is true. It's about the good of the whole as opposed to just the good of the individual. And that concept alone makes it an amazing standout in wine world.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating that, I mean, think of all the industries out there. Can you imagine an industry where competitors, direct competitors, would get together and share insider secrets in order to make the industry as a whole better? I can't think of any other business where people would do that, but Oregon winemakers are constantly getting together, putting their heads together and saying, how can we farm better? How can we make better wine? How can, you know, Team Oregon do a better job? And I just love that sense of community that
it is.
Have here.
They are truly friendly with each other. And I know that my compatriots in Napa say, well, we all go to breakfast, we do this. But it's more like in Napa, there's a hidden breakfast meeting or a hidden supper club. And it's more important sometimes who is invited as opposed to who isn't. In Oregon, it just seems like whoever's there, hey, show up, come on, the more the merrier. And I think as the older I get, the more I definitely relate to that style.
Well, I guess we're just a bunch of hippies up here. I don't know what to say.
Oh, I don't know if I go that far. I kind of reserve that for Mendocino still. I really, really just have to. All right, Catherine, staying on point. Tell us first, let our listeners know about you, what you do, and how you have gotten yourself sucked into the wine industry.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to bore them by beginning at the very beginning, but I have been writing the wine column for the Oregonian newspaper for 10 years now. And I also write the wine column for Mix Magazine, and I contribute to various other magazines on wine. And then I'm just, you know, I love just writing about wine and speaking about wine and any way I can. So I do have the book Voodoo Vintners about biodynamic wine, because I felt there was just a need for someone to kind of explain this whole confusing topic in a understandable way. And I also have an iPhone, iPad, and Android app called Oregon Wine, just to spread the word about Oregon wine to everyone. And I'm just about to start a new book as well. So just trying to keep busy and continue to get the word out about wine.
Which is good. And thank you for mentioning the app, because we did do an all call on this saying, hey, listen, any great wine apps? And I had a chance to look at yours. And it really is helpful as far as categorizing, making people understand that there are different regions. It's not just all Willamette Valley and going from there.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because it's like a book, but you can just continue to update it. And so with the first version, I just wanted to get something out there. So it was not as exhaustive as I would have wanted it to be. But right now, actually, when the phone rang just now, I was working on updating the app. So I can just continue to explore those lesser-known regions and add more wineries and more restaurants. And, yeah, it'll just be an ongoing adventure, and I'll just keep it growing.
Literally keeping Oregon at the touch of your fingers. Outstanding. All right, well, let's look at this objectively since we got into it. And I know it can get, this topic gets very, very complicated and very hairy when people start really delving into it. So let's try and keep a idiot's guide to biodynamic and organic and go from there. In your opinion, the way you look at it, how do you view biodynamic and what is your take on it?
Okay. Well, the easiest, there are a lot of ways that I try to explain it simply. And one of them is human beings have been farming for, I mean, it's arguable what you define as farming, but let's say 10,000 years. And only for the last 100 years have we been farming the way we call conventionally. So the word conventional is kind of ironic if you think about it. Before World War I, all farming was, whether you want to call it organic or biodynamic. So a lot of times I hear people say, oh, biodynamic, it's so weird, it's so strange, it's so new agey. And I say, you know, it's the way it always was. And it was just, I mean, a lot of the kind of weird, quirky practices that are involved with biodynamics are just cultural traditions that were carried on for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Before the advent of modern agriculture.
Ben Franklin is rarely confused with being modern and edgy. Yet all you have to do is look at Poor Richard's Almanac, and a lot of this can be reflected in there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at actually the Farmer's Almanac today. If you flip through it, there are all sorts of references to where the moon is, the waxing moon or the waning moon, and the, you know, where the stars are in the sky. So farmers still look at that stuff.
Oh, they do. My grandmother threatens me still. She's like, you can't plant your roses unless it's a waxing moon.
And yeah.
The woman, yeah. I unfortunately believe she's right, but I'm not going to ever admit that truly to her. Thank God she doesn't listen. So
yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry if I've strayed off topic. So you want just a basic definition of what each of these things are? Or?
Well, no. See, that's what we never stray off topic here on The Crush. It is all part of the conversation. If we want to just set definitions, you can go to Google and go from there. But see, that's just it. It's the fun of having the conversation and trying to tie all these thoughts together. you know, Paul Dolan tried to explain to me once. He's like, well, it's bearing a horn and dancing around naked. And I said, thank you very much. I'm not interested in biodynamic anymore. But I think it really all stems together from all the concepts and everything, whether it's our ancestors, whether it's the people in the 1800s, the 1700s, 1600s. It's it's playing the cards you are dealt to the best of your ability when it comes to farming.
Yeah, the whole dancing around naked under the moon thing, that's I don't even know where that came from, because I know, you know, of winemakers who've done that as a joke because they heard that that was the reputation that biodynamics have. But I mean, I don't, there are a lot of things people bring up that don't actually go on. Most, what I find, which you probably found too, in wine growing is most of these people are farmers, and farmers tend to be pretty rational people, and they don't, they're not about to waste their time on something that doesn't make sense to them. So they're pretty sensible about it.
It's generally the people moving up from San Francisco with the idea to start for their winery that's going by the old pagan traditions. Because ultimately, I think when you look at biodynamic, people have this association of pagan with it. It's not, you can't go there. It's fundamentals. It is basic fundamentals and getting by with what you can get out of the ground. Yes or no?
Yeah, and if people want to parse it, I can go into really nerdy detail and say, you know, Rudolf Steiner got a lot of his ideas. He was really interested. Rudolf Steiner was the Austrian intellectual who sort of codified biodynamics, and he got a lot of his ideas from ancient Zoroastrianism, which is it's actually a religion that still survives today in India, and it's really home base was in Persia. Now Iran, which basically outlawed it. But the wine grower who I started my book with, Mo Mamtazi, fled Persia on the back of a drug runner's motorcycle. His wife was 8 months pregnant. They were fleeing this terrible situation. He came over here, started farming, discovered biodynamics, and he said, oh, this all makes sense to me. This is what my grandparents were doing.
Well, shouldn't it be seen as rediscovered? Hey, Catherine, we got to take a quick break right here. I do want to pick up this thread when we get back on after these small commercials right here. Is that okay with you?
All right. Sounds good.
Quick break here on The Crush and more Catherine when we return.
We'll have more of The Wine Crush presented by WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes,
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades.
teammates, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. We are in the middle of a discourse with Catherine Cole. She is the author of Voodoo Vintner and the wine columnist for The Oregonian. Catherine, are you still with us?
I'm still here. I was just rocking out to your lead-in music.
Well, Kent does a great job with that. Wine can be so stuffy and boring. I never really know what he's going to have, but at least I know it'll never be Vivaldi. So I really do appreciate that.
I think that's great. I've often said I think one of wine's biggest problems is that it's so elitist in some ways. I really believe in democratizing wine and, you know, spreading the word to everyone. So I think everyone can enjoy it. So.
I think everyone should. And if my personal opinion is, if you say you hate wine and you've never drunk one you've liked, it just means you haven't drunk enough. So we have to work on those people. All right. Yeah. So before
we should say tasted enough in case they're, you know, driving cars and all that.
Well, of course, yeah. Or perhaps if they are on the back of a drug smuggler's motorcycle fleeing with a pregnant wife, right?
Oh, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's where we left off. We were discussing about finding the biodynamic nature in Oregon. And from that, do you think that's where, is this one gentleman the wellspring of where all the farming came from, or is this just your inspiration?
You know, I it wasn't just one person. I think it was just the timing was right, and Oregon actually has a long tradition of sustainable agriculture. A lot of, you know, food producing companies all over the world get organic certified by the organic certification group here in Oregon. It's called Oregon Tilth. And actually, Demeter USA and the Biodynamic Farming and Gardening Association are both based in Oregon. So Oregon, it just sort of naturally became sort of an epicenter for biodynamic wine growing. And I should explain, Demeter, depending on how you want to pronounce it, is the certification agency. So if you want that certification stamp on your label, you go through Demeter.
You have to. You don't have a choice. Well, one thing we haven't fully touched on, obviously we look at biodynamic as being basic. It's fundamental. It's from the 1600s, the 1500s, the 1400s, however we want to look at farming. Can you, in a really, really small nutshell, give our listeners the difference between biodynamic and organic?
Well, practitioners say organic is all about it's all about not harming the earth, whereas biodynamics, the philosophy is actually healing the earth. So with organic, you can sort of practice conventional agriculture only with substances that are not harmful, whereas a biodynamic practitioner doesn't use any of these things. They would just put, you know, compost and these sort of herbal remedies on their plants and their soil and try to actually make the soil healthier, create more microorganisms and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But they're very similar. And the other thing is biodynamic does have this added layer of spirituality and, you know, of honoring past traditions. And so that's the part that really trips a lot of people up, where they say, whoa, this is getting a little weird with, you know, moon cycles and
you
and
have to be extraordinarily zen with your grapes.
But it's kind of like yoga. Like, I do yoga. I love it. And, you know, you do yoga for the workout and for the stretching. But then after you've been going for a couple years, you know, you say om and it's like helps you breathe deeply. But after a while, you say om and you kind of feel peaceful. And you think, well, I don't believe this. But it kind of is becoming a spiritual practice, even though you may not be emotionally committed to that idea. It's still sort of just happens. And I heard that from a lot of biodynamic practitioners, that they really did sort of feel the aura of their vineyard after doing this practice for a couple years. And so, you know, it does become sort of a spiritual way of farming.
I think anything that you get passionate enough or something that you care about at some point, you can feel spiritual about. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes it just transfers through, whether it's in the grapes, whether it's in what you're doing for a living or how you're handling yourself. I think all of us would attest to the fact that there are some things that will definitely rise your interest and rise your passion level a little bit higher. But on that note, I've got to ask you, obviously, you've written for 10 years. You're definitely in Portland. You're definitely excited about Oregon. Why are you passionate about Oregon? Why are you personally? What is it about Oregon that makes it different from its neighbors, different from Washington, different from California, different from Ohio? What is the unique factor for you?
Well, getting back to the book, I do have kind of a secret mission, which is I think that anyone who gets interested in wine is eventually going to become interested in a healthier planet, a healthier environment, and also a healthier self. I think that the whole wine lifestyle just leads to people being more interested in the outdoors and good farming and good food. And so, I think Oregon is just a symbol of sustainability. And I was just thinking about like King Estate Winery in Oregon. It's either our largest or our second largest winery in the state. And it's certified organic. It's this huge estate that's basically this beautiful ecosystem with organic vegetable gardens and the whole thing. You know, they've got sheep pruning the vines. They've got raptors, you know, from raptors that have been rescued. They live on the estate and they take care of their pest problems. They don't use pesticides. They have these wild birds, you know, going down and getting the rodents. So, I mean, how great is that? Like, how great is an industry where the largest player is this, like, beautiful, organic, total holistic estate? I just think that's fantastic. And it kind of goes with my personal feeling that we can all live healthier lives, healthier for ourselves and healthier for the planet.
Without a doubt, I believe Oregon has proved itself to be definitely a microcosm of happy, healthy people, which is always a good mentality and a good outset to look at for making wine. Well, Catherine, thank you very much for being part of The Crush today. I encourage all of our listeners, check out Catherine's Oregon Wine app. And, of course, for those of you who want to understand a little bit more the differences and the understanding of biodynamic, please check out her book, Voodoo Vintners. Catherine, again, thank you very much, and I look forward to having you back on the show at some point. Maybe we can see what other interesting parts of Oregon we can delve into.
Sounds like fun. Thanks for having me.
This was a pleasure. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap up our show about wine terminology and look ahead to what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Just go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course my all-time favorite, Chardonnay. Buy a few bottles or stock up for your next party. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. That's WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-1639. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
Hear that? That's an engine running with Z-Max.
Z-Max delivers ultimate engine performance you can hear and feel every time you drive. With Z-Max in your tank, you'll experience a smoother running, more powerful, better protected engine. And you'll see big savings from improved gas mileage. Take it from Max. Nothing works like Z-Max. Log on to ZMAX.com today and find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
It's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. Very special thank you to Catherine Cole, the wine columnist for the Oregonian. She definitely helped tie together a lot of our concept and our ideas when it came to wine terminology. But also, one last quick reminder before we wrap this show up. All of you know about WTSO.com, but don't forget about Wednesday, August 8th. It is Cheapskate Wednesday at WTSO.com. I know Kent's in the booth just taking notes about this right now.
I am right now, yeah.
Yes. The sale's going to run from 6 a.m. to midnight, and offers are posted every new 15 minutes. So that means you have to pay attention. Keep going back because you don't want to be the person who missed out on anything. Bottles are going to be from $7.99 to $18.99. And keep in mind, shipping is going to be free if you buy 4 or more bottles. 4 or more bottles is 2 good afternoons, so keep that in mind. This is going to move really quickly. They are going to send notifications through Twitter, so that means you're going to have your phone and pay attention. You do not want to miss this event, so go to WTSO.com for more information. Definitely check it out. But you know what? As much as I enjoyed what Catherine just said, I just keep going through my mind. We talked about terminology today, but she ended something, the whole conversation, discussing a wine lifestyle. And she mentioned wine lifestyle being healthy, being part of outdoors, being part of a grand, happy scheme of things. And I have to be honest with you, that's not how I view a wine lifestyle. So I don't know about you. That fascinates me. That is one last term that we are definitely going to have to take a harder look at. And maybe we will tackle that on an upcoming show. Let me know what you think wine lifestyle is. 877-4-CRUSH-RUN. Right now, however, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.